Okay, today's daf is Megillah, daf Lamed Beis, last daf in the Masechta Amir Hashem. We left off Lamed Aleph Amid Beis at the two dots around 8 lines into the wide lines. We're up to where the Mishnah said, B'tainius, on Tainius, we do brachas akolas. The laning is the brachas akolas. And we said in the Mishnah as well, Emaf Sigim akolas, we're not mafsik, we don't make a separate aliyah, we don't break up the klalos in the middle for a new aliyah. Before we get to the Gemara, just a quick point that we touched on when we read the Mishnah yesterday, but there's more to it than what we mentioned. Yesterday I mentioned on the Mishnah, when it says that on Tainius you lane brachas akolas, we said from the Sefer Avkas Reichel, this is a unique case that we find where the Tana, the Mishnayas, the Tanayim tell us a din, and you don't find clearly another Tana that argues. Yeah, we don't do that. We don't lane on all Tanaisim brachas akolas, we lane Vayichal. We lane the Parsha Vayichal, as we know, on Tanaisim. So he just points out that the concept is that when it comes to Issa v'Heter, if the Tana tells us something, we're definitely not going to find that somehow over time we do something different, unless you find a source, another Tana, something, someone that argues. Over here, where it comes to more, it seems not Mr. v'Heter, it's the Dine Kriya. So here too, normally it doesn't mean we're not dismissing what was Mesukin earlier by the earlier Chachamim, but the point is the fact that it says, but in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that they were laying one way, if we have a Maseret laying a different way, we can go with the Maseret. And that was Dafka's Rechels, as he said. We said, Rambam even says, perhaps, that Dafka, the Tanesim that are there for calamities, like current calamities, like we had a Maseret Tainus, that they make a Tainus on Kol Dover that shouldn't happen to the Tzibur, but Chalil, if it does, they make a Tainus. For those Tanesim, maybe you have the laning of Brachas Akolas. But for the regular Tanesim, the Tishabav, the Shabbos Batamas, the Tishabav has the only anyway, he's still at Banim, but the Tishabav in the morning, the Tishabav in the afternoon, or Shabbos Batamas, or Tanis Esther, Tam Gedalia, Sarbatavis, for those fasts, we talk about Duvechal, that's not a steer to our Mishnah, perhaps, it's talking about something else. But the basic idea, the Afka Zorechel's premise, that we don't necessarily do what it says in the Mishnah when it comes to what we lane, the Afka Be'ez of Heter, so the first point that there's actually two more cases on the staff itself where you find that. We have in the bottom of Amud Aleph, what we discussed, Taisus brings the Gemara discusses after of Shmiat Seres, and Taisus says on Amud Aleph that yeah, that's what the Gemara says we do, but we do different. We don't do that same after that it describes on Shmiat Seres. So furthermore, on the top of here, Amud Aleph, if we look at the top Taisus, the Gemara describes what was the laning for Shchedesh Av, what was after, and the Gemara brings that's Chachechem Uvaidechem, second line of the page, Sinei Nafshi, are you a lie? But look at Taisus, first words of Taisus. V'ein anu Isim came, even though the Mar brings a Brisa, which is a Tana, that says this, it doesn't bring a descending view, we still don't do this. It's two more places that Taisus points out. Again, this dates back obviously to the Shonim's time, at the Gemara, the Mishnayos or Brisas, the Tanayim told us one thing, Legabe Leining, and yet we do something else, fits in line with this idea of the Afik Zeruchel, that when it comes to non-Issa v'Heter, there's more of a leeway, I guess, for lack of a better word, to do something different. Okay, says the Gemara, we're saying you can't be mafsik during the klalas. Menonim ilhadim, you're not mafsik, you don't do an aliyah in the middle of the klalas. Amar chiva bagamda amar ba'asi. Tamar kram musra Hashem b'ni altimas. Says Rashi, what does it mean altimas? Don't let it become like disgusting to you, altimas. Rashi says, we're talking about the klalas. And if one's mafsik in the klalas, it looks like, I had enough of it. I'm stopping. Let me finish my aliyah. Let someone else read the rest. So even though it's a long aliyah, but in order that it shouldn't look like it's timas, like it's mus, we don't make a break in the middle of the aliyah. That is the source from this pasuk. That is source number one from, in the name of Rasi, Rav Chiyah Bagam, the name of Rasi. Source number two from Rish Lakish Amar. He says, "Lefisha ein aimrim bracha l'pronius." We don't want to make a bracha l'pronius. If you split up the aliyah in the middle of the klalas, that means the person who finishes aliyah is making an end bracha. The end bracha of the aliyah, Ashnas lo teres emes, is coming after klalias, and the first bracha for the next aliyah is also coming on klalas. We don't want to make brachas on klalas. And hey, Chavis, what do you do? Says Gemara, Tana Kishumasra Masra Mapasak Shelfneim, Kishum Masayim, Masayim Pasak Shachrayim. So what do you do to avoid this? You read one pasuk prior to the klalas before you start, and one pasuk after the klalas when you finish. So the Birchas Atari, you're making the Birchas Atari in the beginning goes on that pasuk, I mean, it goes the whole thing, obviously, but the immediate bracha, it goes on the pasuk prior to the klalas, and you make a bracha at the end, you lay an extra pasuk at the end after the klalas, so the immediate bracha then is going on that, not going on a klala either. That's the eight side avoid. Make a bracha on the klalas. Amar Abaye. Leshana el b'klalas shebeteres kadam. So Abaye makes a major qualification. This that we say in the Mishnah, that you don't make a break, you don't split up the aliyahs in the middle of the klalas, is dafka by the klalas that are in teres kadam, that's in Sefer Vayikra, that's of course in b'chukaisai, right? The klalas, the teichem b'chukaisai, we don't split that one up. Avakalas Mishnah Torah. The klalas in Sefer Devarim, in, of course, in Kisavai, paisik, that we are mafsik. What's the difference? By taima. Halal blushed rabim amurais, umayshu piagvur amran. The ones in Vayikra were first of all blushed rabim, they were plural. And went to the masses, and Moshe said them, "Be a gvura." Moshe said in the name of Hashem. So those we don't split up. V'alalu b'lashin yachid amurus u'mayshu piyatz b'namur. Whereas the ones in Devarim, that's already said b'lashin yachid, and it was mayshu b'piyatz b'yisethem, so there's more leeway to split those up. Levi Barbuti have a kakari b'nam, related to this, what we just said, about Devarim being different than Vayikra. Levi Barbuti was reading v'kam gam game, and he was making like mistakes. He was like, the way he touched it is he was mumbling, kamei d'arfuna baruri. He was laying in front of Rav Huna, and he's making mistakes, being megam game by the aruri, by these curses, by the klalos. Amalei Rav Huna said to him, "Akin avshach, do what you want." Meaning, leishan al klalos shebatayrus kahanim, avshmesh shatayrus paisik. If you don't want to read it, that's why you're mumbling. You don't want to read these klalos. Stop. And your aliyah. I would not mafsik milv klalos. We said we have this qualification. You only not mafsik milv sefer vayikra and sefer devarim and kisavay that aliyah. Those klalos you could be mafsik. So if it's bothering you so much, just stop. Just stop. Don't worry about being mafsik. We see that there's this real concern of reading teicha. We discussed a week or two ago. We discussed that there was some people that the minig of the velt is taka the teicha. You don't call in up for aliyah. Rather, the balkari gets that aliyah. You don't call someone special up. The balkari gets that particular aliyah goes to Balkari. We brought up that there was a minig that the Shlomo Kluger and Moshe Feinstein, separate reasons, but separately took offense to this minig. They held minig tayas. There was a minig to not call anybody up, to just read it without any ayla. So you could give aliyah till that point, then you read the psukim of the Balkari will read the psukim of the teicha, and then go back and give aliyah afterwards, and both Shlomo Kluger and Moshe Feinstein and separate chuvas, both they say it's a big toy, it's a mistake. Avad, you have to call someone for aliyah. But the point is that there's various minhagim about avoiding calling someone up for the teicha because it seems like just the reading the psukim could have a negative power. Here we're saying that, but what do we do? The maestro, we have the Bakar reads it, and the Bakar gets the aliyah. That's what we do. Over here we have Levi ben Buti, the Chayyim, was reading it himself. I mean, presumably he had aliyah. The reading alone, he was concerned about it was bothering him. Okay. Tanya. Ezra tikkun liyam leam yisrael shukarim klalos b'tayrus kahanim kaidem atzeres v'shemesh atayra kaidem hashana. At the klalos in b'chukos they come out near atzeres near shavuos. Of course, we know shavuos is always around the week of Bamidbar. So the klalos of b'chukos is exactly right before shavuos. And shemesh atayra, the klalos shemesh atayra of devarim comes out. Of course, we know vayelech is usually like Shabbos Shuvah around that time. So nitzav vayelech. So right before that, kisavay is. Next is Kaidah Barshana. My time, what's the idea that Ezra's Masakin that the Teichas should be read specifically right before Shavuos, right before Hashana? Amar Bai Vitam Rishlakesh, Kadesh Tichla Hashan Vikolis, a famous sprach that's used. Let the year end with the Kolis with it. Let the year and the Kolis end and stay in the year before, and let there be a Chayash of a new year without those Kolis. Says the more 1 second. Bishlam Mishim Mishim Tara, Devarim, which you know is Kisav, Vitrain Rishana. That's the idea that the year with the klalos should end and the new year should begin with the brachas. Right? Agamar doesn't say those words. Actually, but elsewhere the Gemara says tachil shana, let the new year start u'birchaseh with the brachas. Okay, so that over here makes sense. Rosh Hashanah time, that makes sense with Parshas Kisavi. Ella, what type of new year is Shavuos? Atu atzeres Rosh Hashanah is Shavuos a Rosh Hashanah? Answers the Gemara, yes, and we all know the answer. Where do we know Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah? We just had this less than 2 months ago. We have this enough Tezayin in Rosh Hashanah, the famous Mishnah Rosh Hashanah right on top of the Tezayin Amalav, where the Mishnah goes through the 4 Rosh Hashanahs there are in the year. And of course, the primary one that we know about is on Rosh Hashanah, what we call Rosh Hashanah. Every single person is judged. They go in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says, Kibnei Marin, like sheep, one by one, they go in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu for judgment. The Mishnah there lists 3 other times besides for Rosh Hashanah, there's a judgment. What are those 3 times? Remind ourselves. There was Sukkot, when Nidan on Mayim. Pesach, when Nidan on the world is Nidan on grain, whether how much grain is going to be in the world. And Shavuos, when Nidan on Peiros, says the Gemara, Tatan, Uvat Seres al Peiros. So, yes, Shavuos is a Rosh Hashanah. Look at Peiros. The world is judged on Shavuos. Look at what type of Peiros will be in the world for the next year. So there is an element of Rosh Hashanah, so it applies the idea of Tichla Shana, let the year end, the Kileseh applies by Shavuos as well. Just a couple points of this, a couple of short points. Number one, Ezra's Masakin that we should have the laning of B'chayis and Teicha, it should work out that it should be next to Shavuos, and the Kisave should be near Rosh Hashanah in order to get both these Tichla Shana and Kileseh. If we notice, first of all, Ezra lived around the time of Masechta Megillah. Masechta Megillah is, of course, the Purim story. Ezra, you know, was the one that went up from Gaila when, after Kairish allowed them to build the Beis HaMikdash, Ezra went up with a group of people. There's a Taina, many of them stay back. But Ezra was the one that went up to help to establish the second Beis Hamikdash. He was around this time, of course, at the time of Mordechai. It was the same time period in between the two Bate Mikdashim. So he does come up in the Gemara. We've referenced him a couple times right in this Pesachta, but specifically in this Perek, specifically in these last Temblat, where we're discussing very much about Kriyas HaTorah, Ezra comes up with this many times in different takanas, just to give a list of a few of them that come to mind offhand. Maybe leave one out. But we have this one, of course. Ezra Tikkun Yisrael, they should read the Klolos before Shavuos and before Hashanah. It's one. We had Ezra Tikkun Kriya Shabbos Mincha. Ezra was Misakin that they should be Kriya every Shabbos Mincha. Ezra was Misakin three Aliyahs. We had Kain Levi Yisrael, Teren Avim Ksuvim, but there's three Aliyahs, and Ezra was Misakin Tem Pesukim. There's all things that Ezra was Misakin. So interesting, very a lot to do with Kriya Satira relates to the, it's all part of probably all at the same time, the same takanas, but it's all part of takanas Ezra. Point number one. Point number two is, we're saying the year of with the Klolos should end, and the new year with the bracha should begin. So the Sefer Eretz Tzvi, he points out beautifully, the Sefer Eretz Tzvi points out, not to be confused by the way, her first shechta is a Sefer called Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz Tzvi is I forget how to pronounce this Chashavi's name, the Kashav of a Gain. Anyway, he's a beautiful Sefer. So he points out that by Shavuos it becomes beautiful, that Tichla Shana Bekilas, that means the year should end with its Kalas, and Tachil Shana, Tachil Kalashna Batchila, a new year should begin, Tachil Tavcha Islamid Shana, a new year should begin with its brachas. What is the laning that we lane right after? We just said that the week of Shavuos is usually parshas by midbar, and the next week's laning is parshas Nasi. What's in that week's parsha right after? Right in the quote unquote new year after Shavuos, the parsha of Birchas Kayanim. Right, Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha, the Pesukim Kaisa Birchas Bnei Yisrael. That parsha, that bracha of Birchas Kayanim, is specifically in the parsha right in the beginning of this new year after new year in quotations, meaning the Shavuos Nitzig new year. So it's beautiful, fits beautifully with the Tachol Shana. In general, the first to speak out, that what does it mean when we say every day in Aleinu, we say that we give praise to the Yetzer Bereshis. The simple title is, Yetzer Bereshis means, like just like if we say Bereshis Bar in the beginning, Hashem created the world, right? In the beginning, Hashem created the world, so too, Yetzer Bereshis, he created the beginning, he created the Bereshis. That will be the simple way of understanding what we say in Aleinu. But the first I'm saying, there's much deeper idea going on. There's a power of Eschachos, there's a power of being able to have new beginnings, new starts, where we're able to say, let the bad mazels, the bad clothes, the bad keichas be left behind, and let's start with Frisha keichas, a new start. That's the idea of always having ischachas. Yetzer Bereshis really means, I mean, according to the first, I'm saying it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly puts us in situations where he creates new opportunities, new Bereshis, new beginnings, new startings. That's Yetzer Bereshis. Here in our sukkah, it's exactly that idea of Tichlo Shana B'Chilasa and Tachil Shana B'Berchasa. Let the new year start with this bracha, the new opportunity, the new potential should start. That's always a mila to have a hischachas. Of course, you want to keep the positive that you had till now, but usher in hischachas to get rid of any of the old negativity. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tanavan, Mokaim, I skipped. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Ezra, no, I was, where are we? I lost my place. Tanya, Shimon Elazar, no, we're right. Now, these members are said, we just said Shimon Elazar said Ezra was Masakin, reading the Klolos before Shavuos and before Hashanah. So we're saying more members from Shimon Elazar. This first one, the second one, is not really related to laning. Other ones will be linked, could be related to laning. This is not related to laning, but it comes up over here, of course, because it's the same author. We had this concept many times. It says the Gemara, if the elders tell you to demolish and the young ones say build, guess what? Serve al tibna. Destroy and don't build. The point is, one would think building is always great and demolishing is typically not so great, which is generally speaking is true. However, the building of the inexperienced ones is like destroying compared to the destroying the seiser of the experienced. Ones who experience telling you destroy, their destruction is like binyan and vice versa on the young ones. Says the Gemara Mishnah, stira zakenim binyan. The stira of zakenim is really a binyan, and the binyan, the arm, stira, and the binyan, the building of the arm, is really demolishing. And what's the right to remember? This is Simon Dover. The Simon is Rechavim Ben Shlema. Simon to remember, this is Rechavim Ben Shlema. Rechavim Ben Shlema, he took over from his father, and he asked his advisors, should he continue with, let's say, some of the taxes and some of the rulings that the father put in place, or should he relinquish some, be a little more lenient? And the Zakenim advised him, give up some. That's like the stira, so to speak. Give up some of the taxes, give up some of the gzeris of your father, relinquish some, and that'll help establish your kingdom. The young one said, Adrabba, let's raise more money. Let's tax the people more. Let's move more from the move more to the socialist type of or dictatorship type of control, let's tax more. And what happened was it caused a rebellion. So the building, quote unquote, of trying to raise more money and trying to raise more rules on the people ended up destroying the building of the experience of the advice of the inexperience, which is what Rechavim listened to, ended up destroying, because of course Rechavim went and ended up seeding and separating, and then we had two Shvatim and ten Shvatim, Malchus Yudah, Malchus Yushalayim. We had two different kingdoms because of listening to the young ones. Tanarabon. The place where we finish laning Shabbos morning, usually for us, which is typically end of a parsha. So let's say this week it will be end of a shalach. Shom kerem mincha. So Shabbos afternoon mincha, we read the beginning of Yisrael. And b'mincha, the place we left off at mincha. So according to this first Tana, shom kerem b'sheni. That's where you start on Monday. So according to this Tana, let's say we read till sheni b'mincha. On Monday we start from sheni. From sheni we left off Shabbos and B'sheni, the place we left off by Sheni, which would be presumably be, let's say, B'shlishi, Shom Karim B'chamishi. You'd read from B'shlishi to Ravi on the Thursday, and B'chamishi, the place we left off B'chamishi, Shom Karim L'Shabbos Abba. So on Shabbos, you'd start from Ravi, the very mayor, because you're always doing another section every day, Mincha, Monday, Thursday. Okay, Rabbi Yudah Emir, no. This is what we do, like Rabbi says, Makom Shem B'sikim B'Shabbos Shachros, Shom Karim B'mincha B'sheni B'chamishi, L'Shabbos Abba. The place we leave off in the morning, Shachros, Shabbos morning. So let's say we finish the end of Parshas B'Shalach this week. So that same spot, the beginning of Yisrael, right in the beginning of Yisrael, is where we start Shabbos Mincha, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Abba. The following Shabbos, we start from the beginning of Yisrael. Of course, that's what we do till today, like Rabbi Yudah. And that's Taka Lamar brings down. I'm Rabbi Zeira, Halach, what's Halacha? Makom Shem B'sikim B'Shabbos Chashachros, Shom Karim B'mincha B'sheni B'chamishi, L'Shabbos Abba. The place we leave off Shabbos morning after Shachros, that place, that's where you're going to lane by Mincha, by Monday, Thursday, and the next Shabbos. You're always starting back from the place where you left off by Shabbos morning. You always start from the beginning of the parasha. Ask the more obvious question. If Rabbi Zeira is Pasik Rabbi Yudah, why is he reiterating the whole Psak? Let me just say, Halach Rabbi Yudah. The lame Halach Rabbi Yudah. Why don't you say that? Says Gemara. Mishum, top of Lama Beis Baralf. Mishum. There was a debate as to who authored which shita. Was Rameir the one that said the way we have it, that says that you keep laning and going weiter every time? Or, and Yehuda the one that says that you always go back to the beginning, the way we have it? Or maybe it was opposite. Since it wasn't clear who said what, there was some debate as to who said what, so he figured the best is, Rav Zeira figured the best is to issue a psak, how we hold the exact dinim, and not say who he possibly like, because it may be that someone's going to think what we call Yehuda is really Rameir, they're going to mix up what the real psak is. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter, another halacha, another story. We're going to have machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yudah, and we're going to have the same type of a psak from Rabbi Zeira. This time it's going to be Rabbi Zeira bar Masna. Instead of Rabbi Zeira, it's going to be Rabbi Zeira bar Masna, and then we'll have some other members from Rabbi Zeira bar Masna. Before we get there, just one quick point that I neglected to mention on that last Gemara about the stira of Zakenim. The knocking down of Zakenim is like a binyan, and the binyan of the young ones, the inexperienced ones, could be a kastira. So there's a nice tushel to that, the Zifurnu in Chumash on the pasuk as Mispar Yomecha Mali. I'll fill up the length of your days. Pasha the bracha means longevity. You have a long life. I'll fill up your days. Have a long life, which is great in and of itself, of course, a great bracha. But the Sfirna elaborates and says there's an additional, there's a, maybe even the main mile of that bracha is that when there's a longevity in a person's life and he sees his children and sees his grandchildren, the grandchildren get to hear the advice of the grandparents who have, they not a matter of brain capacity, of education. There's simply something called life experience, something called being a zakin, seeing the world, seeing life. And that generational advice that the grandfather can give to a grandchild, that's the esmis, the bracha of esmis mayim mechamali, is not just the longevity, but the mila that we get from being able to have the sage advice of the experience of the grandparents. And that's the idea of our sugya, that again, the stiras of the zakenim is like a binyan. What they destroy, when they say give advice to destroy something, that could be binyan of itself. It fits very well with our Gemara. Okay, back over here. So again, din number one that we just said from Mechlekes Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, and Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that is that when we lane, finish the whole parasha every Shabbos morning, and then the next three times, or four times really, Shabbos Mincha, Monday, Thursday, and even the next Shabbos, we always start from that same exact spot we left off, from Yisrei. We don't keep adding, we don't keep going further every time we lane. That was Pesach number one. Then number two, Tanabon, Pesach Varei, when one gets an Aliyah, he opens the Torah, looks inside, where he's going to read from, Goylel, rolls the Torah back up, Mavarech, and makes a bracha, the Chayzer, and then after he makes the bracha of Asher Bracha Banu, the Chayzer, he opens up again a Pesach, the Torah, the Kaira, and he reads. So basically, open the Torah, you have to see where you're going to be leaning from, roll it back, make the bracha, and then open the Torah and read. My type of debate was skipped. Divermeh, she's just a mayor, Rabbi Yudaimer, Pesach, Veroya, Mavarach, Vakar. Much more simple. You open the Torah, you see the place where you're going to lane from, you make the bracha without rolling it close, and you lane. You don't roll in between. So my type of debate, what's the mayor says you got to roll it close in between? So the Markadullah, it's like, Ula, Namarula, Rabbi Ma Amru, Hakar, Batar, Leisa, Maturgaman. Whoever's reading for the Torah should not help the Maturgaman. By the way, I think it's another Gezer of Ezra, that this should be a Maturgaman. We spoke out, we don't have Maturgaman anymore, as well as that, because we don't first say Targum. Targum does Aramaic, because that's what easy language to understand. So that would also be a Pirush. So no point for us to have Targum when we don't understand anyway. To us, it's anyway a foreign language. Okay. But the point is that the Balkari should not help the Maturgaman. Why is that? People are going to say the Targum is written in the Torah, meaning others in the crowd can help the Maturgam and Taish the Pasuk. But the Balkari himself should not help because people are going to say the Balkari is reading it from the Torah, and they're going to say, oh, must be the Targum is in the Torah itself. Okay, so Hachanami, so over here, the reason why we don't make where Mayo is you roll up the Torah, when you make the Bracha Torah is, Kadesh Lermu, Brachas Ksuv in Torah. We roll up the same Torah, that people shouldn't say that the Brachas, the Brachas Torah is written in the Torah itself. So we see the place, roll the Sefer Torah closed, make the Bracha, no one's going to think you're reading for the Sefer Torah, and then you reopen it to lane. That is Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda argues, right? Rabbi Yehuda, why isn't he concerned about this? He allows them just to keep the Sefer Torah open the whole time and make a bracha. Why isn't he concerned? Targum, you see, the chur is an issue. It says more targum, it can limit toy. Brachas like a mitoy. You can't compare. Targum, people are going to make a mistake. Brachas, people are not going to make a mistake. What's the difference between targum and brachas? Why have a targum when they make a mistake and brachas not? So the simple idea is because targum is, first of all, because it's people are more knowledgeable. They know brachas aren't in there. Every couple of lines is brachas about that. But furthermore, targum, we know this psukim in the Torah, which indeed are targum. This psukim in Nach that are targum. We just quoted it early in the Masechta. Yigar seduces in the Torah. We found different psukim in Torah and Avim Ksuvim that are targum. So maybe this also is in the Torah itself. So targum, people can make a mistake. But brachas, no one makes a mistake. Brachas of Torah, and therefore the brachas are written in the Torah itself, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned about brachas. Okay, he wasn't concerned. Isvas, still roll it up. Just because he's not concerned that people are going to make a mistake, why doesn't he give you a mayor that you just roll the Torah up when you make the brachas? Says the Mefarshim, the problem is Tircha de Tzibura. Unbelievable. You go, you see the place in the Torah. If you're going to roll the Torah when you make the bracha, then unroll it, it adds a couple seconds to davening, it's a couple seconds, people are waiting. Else Tircha de Tzibura, you see how powerful Tircha de Tzibura is, Yehuda says, you don't roll it up, you don't roll it in. Rather, leave it open the whole time, and we're not worried that people are going to make a mistake and think the brachas are in the Torah itself. That is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, says Gemara. Targum like a mitzvah, brachas like a mitzvah. Targum people make a mistake, brachas not, and therefore they have the brachas, leave it open according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Zera halach, Amar Masna halach is Pesach v'rayim v'verach v'kara. Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. You open the Torah, you see the spot where you're supposed to lay from, you make the bracha v'kara, and then you read from the Torah from that spot. You don't roll it closed. Frak Gemara again, lay malach Rabbi Yehuda. He's a passing Zach Rabbi Yehuda. So why don't we just say halach Rabbi Yehuda? Why are you elaborating the psak? Same man says before, Mishum de afkilu, because there are people that are opposite. People have what we have from Shem Rabbi Yehuda, they have Shem Rabbi Meir, and vice versa. And therefore, if you say halach Rabbi Yehuda, people are going to make a mistake. So you say that it says therefore the halach is this din that we open the Torah, we see the place, we make a bracha. And then we read from the Torah, we don't roll it up. Says the Shulchan Aruch on this halacha. Simon Kuf Lamites. Shulchan Aruch brings that we paskin, like our Gemara says, like Rabbi Yehuda. And we paskin Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we leave the Sefer Torah open when we make that bracha. Says the Shulchan Aruch, but that's only by the first bracha. Asher bracha banu, we leave it open. If it's a Zibur element, we leave it open. Whereas Asher Nasan Lanu, the bracha after laning, then we roll it up. Why? Because anyway, between Aliyah, Ben Gavra, Legavra, they don't leave the Sefer Torah open, they roll the Sefer Torah closed anyway. So anyway, since it's being rolled closed, no Tichas Zibur issue, everyone agrees over there, you'll roll up the Sefer Torah, you roll it closed in between after the Aliyah is finished, when you make that second bracha, and the Sefer Torah is rolled closed. The Mishnah Berura explains, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Berura is where who explains this idea, because we're waiting anyway for the next Ayla. The Ramah adds that by the first bracha, Asher Bracha Banu, when we leave the Sefer Torah open, you still turn your head to the side. You want to make it clear you're not looking in the Torah. So you tilt your head to the side, you tilt your head, he brings actually specifically, once you tilt his head to the left side. We pointed this out already a week or two ago. We pointed out that the left side is a little problematic the way we set up our Sefer Torah, our Bakura, and our Ayla, the one against Aliyah. We set up the Sefer Torah and the Bakura when you're facing the Bima, let's say, facing the Sefer Torah, the Bakura is on the left, and the Ayla is on the right, the one against Aliyah is on the right, which is fine. But what comes out when you make a bracha, if the Bakura is standing next to you, and you're standing a little bit more to the right side of the Bima / right side of the Sefer Torah, if you turn to your left, you still have a good visual of the Sefer Torah itself. You leave the Sefer Torah open, you have a very good visual of the Sefer Torah. It would make much more sense to turn the head to the right side. If a person is standing on the right side of the Torah and he turns out to the right, he's looking totally away from the Sefer Torah. By turning to the left, he still could be eyeing the Sefer Torah, so it's a little bit of a chiddush that went that way. So it's interesting, someone pointed out to me in the other shir, in the morning shir, someone pointed out that in his shul, or one of the shuls he davens in, apparently Muncie, and there's the name of the shul, Rabbi Ramberg, Shlita Shul, they taka have a setup where the Bakura stands on the right, and the oil stands on the left. And for years, I always thought that based on this Ramah, that must have been the way they did it back in the day, because otherwise this wouldn't be a good Eitzah. It could be, still be true, could not be a mistake. In Lemaisa, the Mishabura beat me to the question. He doesn't ask this question, but the Mishabura just points out the reason why the utility had to the left is because we view ourselves as facing the Shechina. If we face the Shechina is always on the right side. So the Shechina is on the right side. If I tilt my head to the left, I'm tilting my head more towards the direction of the overall Shechina. That's what the Mishabura means, a totally separate Sfarah, which takes away from my idea. It seems to be a whole different basis for why there must be to the left. Okay, but you still have to know, in general, the main point is really, you try not to look in the Sefer Torah. It would make more sense, presumably, to turn to the right. Anyway, Mishmura doesn't stop there. Very, very interesting Mishmura. Mishmura then says that, you know what, looking away from the Torah also looks pretty bad. It looks like you're purposely looking away from the Torah. That gives off a bad impression. Rather, you know what you should probably do? Better just to close your eyes. So all of a sudden you have the Ramah saying, tilt your to this left side. Mishmura gives an explanation about it. And then he says, but you know, better yet, maybe just to close your eyes tight and not tilt your head to the side. Actually, keep your eyes closed tight. That's what Mishmura says. And then he adds, I am Be'alacha, check the Be'alacha. And if you look at the Be'alacha, there's further qualifications. The Be'alacha says that even though we see the Pasuk of Yehuda, that it's better to keep the Sefer Torah open, we make the bracha. You know what's the best at the Be'alacha? Roll the Sefer Torah closed. Unbelievable. We're worried about Tirchut Tzibura. No, Rabbi Yehuda just meant not Mamash Tirchut Tzibura. He meant you don't have to roll it closed because we're not concerned that people are going to say the brachas are in the Torah. They'll chop that it's not in the Torah, and therefore we're not concerned if you leave it open. But you have to leave it open. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. That's what Allah wants to suggest, that you're allowed to close, you're allowed to roll it up. Tirchut Tzibura is not such an issue, and therefore he suggests now, according to this, to roll it back. So it's unbelievable. You start with the Mechaber saying that we leave it open the Sefer Torah when we have the Aliyah. The Ramah says tilt that to the side. Mishmur comes along and does two things. And Mishmur, first of all, he says, tilt that to the side, man, maybe it's better just to close your eyes. And then Be'er Lacha says, you know what, maybe better to roll the Sefer to close in the first place, like Rameh Shita, even though he passed Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda himself wasn't saying you are not allowed to roll it closed. You're just saying you don't have to, and therefore we should be machmer and roll it closed. Unbelievable how the Be'er Lacha says Mishmura changes from the basic ideas in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. Okay, says more further. Next memra from the same author, Amar Bezeira, Amar Rav Masna. Luchas v'abimus ebem shukadusha. Luchas, boards, and bimus. Rashi explains these boards were there to cover sifrei kodesh that were a little messed up. It used to be that we used to write, create svarim. Sometimes they'd have svarim that came out incomplete, or they were templates. They weren't saved themselves, but they still had words of Torah on them. So what's the status of that? So we're saying over here, Ein Bem Shem Kedusha, Bimus was the Bima they built for the Melech when they used to read the Sefer Torah. They built a special platform for the Melech. We're saying those two things do not have Kedusha. They say that the first thing, Rashi himself says, again, he's not so clear what Luchas are, but it seemingly relates to some Seamus idea. Rashi says, not so clear what it is, but they do want to relate it a bit to the ideas of Seamus, perhaps, and maybe a Makkah to be lenient on things that weren't printed with Das to be a Sefer, especially, let's say, the extra scraps of the printing press that you knew were going to be there, but they were samples, but they weren't meant to be long-term Sfarim. Maybe attack one of Kedusha. This Gemara will be to go right to that again, if you fully understand exactly what the case of Luchas means properly. Amar v'Sheftai, Amar v'Echanan. Now we get weiter with more dinim related to Sefer Torah, and we're going to quote a bunch of members from the same author, Rav Sheftai and Amar v'Echanan. Number one, Hagal Sefer Torah Tzarek Shabedena Al Tvar. One who's rolling the Sefer Torah, he should see to it that the Tvar, the stitching, is in the middle. When you roll the Sefer Torah, stitching should be in the middle. When Gaila, by the way, doesn't just mean Glila. Gaila, of course, means Hagba as well. Gaila means not just Glila. The Iker Gaila means, what we call today Hagba, is the Iker Gaila. And we're saying he should do the Hagba when he has the Hagba Glila, when he has the Sefer Torah lined up where the stitches are in the middle. What's the Pshat? Two different Pshatim. Rashi says the Pshat is because it's easier to tighten. When the stitches are in the middle, it's easier for you to tighten it. The Rif says because less of a concern if it rips. If it's not stitches in the middle and stomp parchment rips, you got a bigger problem to fix that stomp parchment. Whereas if it's by the stitches, so if the stitches Glila tear, it's easier to fit the stitches, to fix them, put them back together, and therefore it makes sense to put it by the stitches. Okay, so you start Shabdeno Altfar, you're supposed to roll it up based on the middle stitches. Vamar Shafta Amar Bechon, another Dino Gol Sefer Torah. Gail Mabachos Vegal Mephanim. One is rolling Sefer Torah by himself. Key point, he's rolling Sefer Torah by himself. You should roll it from the outside and not from the inside, meaning it's on the Bima, and he basically has one side of the Sefer Torah close to him, one side further away. He should lean over to the side further away and roll that side towards him and not roll the side that's near him, because if you roll the side near him, you run the risk of the Sefer Torah on the other side, the Atzichayim, and the side of the Sefer Torah on the other side. When you're rolling it to the side that's near you, it'll cause the other side to roll off Chalila off the beam and onto the floor. So therefore, you should roll from the other side. However, once it's already rolled, and he's simply tightening it, but already he's fully pretty rolled up and closed up already, then it's close together. Then already he can mahadik it from the side that's closer to him and not from the side that's further. So the simple explanation is like leaning over the Sefer Torah is not such a covet. So if you don't have to, you take from the side that's closer to you. That's a simple idea. Rashi seems to say the first thing is more than that. That even though the Sefer Torah was ready rolled to its place, it's ready rolled up, it still was visible to the people. And if he uses his arms to roll it up from the other side, he completely covers it. It's hard for anyone to see. If he rolls from the side that he's closer to him, others can still see. And we want the mila of others being be able to see the words of Sefer Torah. Okay, so that was the number two of Rav Sheftia regarding the one who does Hagba. He should do Hagba from the outside away from him and not close to him, unless he's already finished and it's just tightening it. Then he can do from the side that's close to him. The number one, of course, was he's supposed to roll it from the lift up, do the Hagba, do the rolling from the tfar, from the point of the stitching. Point of the stitching is supposed to be in the middle. Okay. From Rav Sheftia, Rabbi Yechon, another din. Asar Shekara B'Torah, 10 people that read from the Torah. Hagadol Shebem Gadol Sefer Torah. Who gets Hagba? Who gets Galila? The Gadol Shebem gets the Hagba Galila. If 10 people from Sefer Torah, the Gadol Shebem gets Hagba Galila. Why? This explains why. Because Agailinet is Chakulam. The one who does Hagba Galila gets all of the Schar. Dabar Shebem Navy, Asar Shekara B'Torah, 10 people read from the Sefer Torah. Hagail Sefer Torah, Agil Sefer Torah, Kibel Schar Kulan. The one who does Glila gets all the Schar. Ask the Gemara. He takes the Schar away from the ones that did the other stuff. Why would that make sense? Schar Kulan, Sakadaitach, Elaim, rather say Kibel Schar Kineged Kulam. Doesn't mean he takes the Schar of all of them. He gets the same Schar as all of them. He gets the equivalent Schar to what they all get. He gets that equivalent amount of Schar. That's what it means. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the grace of the specific godless of Hagba Glila is, but apparently this Schar of doing Hagba Glila is Schar Netz Chakulam. You think that should be the highest bidding when they sell Elias and Shul, Kayan Levi Yisrael. Highest bidding would be for Hagba Glila. It's pretty clear over here that it's the Netz Chakulam. What we find actually is that sometimes people bid a little bit more, not more than other Elias, but they bid for Hagba Glila because they get to get two kibbutzim out of it. But Betzim, it's not considered. Hey, most people, when they get Hagba, they don't view it as getting the Chashav Aliyah. It's not considered the Chashav Aliyah, which is interesting. Based on Gemara, it should be considered quite Chashav. Okay, so we're saying that when people read the Torah, you give the Hagba to the most Chashav person. There's an interesting diak in our wording of our Gemara. 10 people that read B'Torah, we went through many different numbers of people that can get Aliyahs. We have 3. We had, that's Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha. We had 4, Rosh Chodesh and Chalamayin. We had 5 Aliyahs by Yom Tevim, 6 Yom Kippur, 7 Shabbos, or according to Akiva, flip those two. Fine, but the point is, we went through the different list. It's 3 Aliyahs to 7 Aliyahs. Add a Safa, add a Maftir, 8, 9, 10 Aliyahs? When do we have 10 Aliyahs? What's the Sarshakaru? The Chorish Shtaki Dik. So Rashi, right away, befriends the Kasha. And what does Rashi say? 10 people that gathered together as a minion and read for the Torah. So we're referring to the 10 people collectively that were there. But Mishas Ma'isa, in order to have a minion, a quorum for Kriyas HaTorah, not the 10 Olam. We're saying, when 10 people gather, you give the Hagba to the most prominent person. That's how Rashi explains it. There is L'Ma'isa, this Rashi takes for granted, we're not talking about the amount of Aliyahs, we're talking about the not the people who got Aliyahs, rather talking about the total people there. There is L'Ma'isa, a Machlaikis, between the Shechanach and the Vilagayin. Does Hagba go to one of the Olam? Shekhanach seems to describe it that you give the people Aliyahs, give the most chashuv person from the Aliyahs, give him also Hagba. So it's very clear that Shekhanach is taking literally that you're giving out the Hagba to one of the Olam, to one of the people who got Aliyahs. And again, the number 10 is Shver. Why would you have 10 people who got Aliyahs? Okay, but the Vilna Gaon argues Shtak, and he says, no, Hagba doesn't go Dafka to one of the Olam. Hagba can go to anyone in the Shul, whoever's the most chashuv gets Hagba, nothing to do with whoever got an Aliyah. So we're just pointing out the way Rashi is touching up the Mishnah, specifically saying that it doesn't mean the 10 Aliyahs, it would fit very nicely with the Gaon. Not Shver on the Shekhanach, but it would fit very nicely with the Gaon. Then we're not mixing the two things. We're not talking about who got the Aliyah, she also got Hagba. Two separate things. There are 10 people there to have a quorum for a minion, and separately, a discussion about who gets Hagba, whether he was from the Olam prior or not. Okay. Says more further. Next member from the same author. It comes up again over here, even though it's not in the entire topic, but it's the same author. Having no mishtamish, we use, we listen, we rely on a baskel. Shenem will have some qualification shortly. Shenem erva azra tishmana davar machrecha lemer. Your ears will hear a matter from behind you saying that's an idea of listening to a voice, a baskel that comes out. Listen to what it says. Hani mili, the mer qualifies it. The shaman kalgavra. The Masa, hear the voice of a man in the city called Itzbedavra, or the voice of a female, Isha, in the fields. Isha in the fields, not so common. I'm not sure why a man in the city would be not common. So they're both common, but okay, for some reason, there's a Hadgasha that the woman in the field is not common. And therefore, you can trust the Baskol. And even so, you have to have Dafka the following, where they repeat themselves, Udamar, Hein, Hein, Udamar, Lav, Lav. Dafka, if the Baskel came out and said, yes, Hainain, or a double lashon, or Lele, a double no. Otherwise, Yevaiter cannot trust the Baskel. Interesting to point out that the Chavrus of mine pointed out to me that we quoted the Gemara, we quoted the Parasi of Ashas. We made a Si of Ashas, obviously, just at the end of Masechtas Beitz, just 2 months ago. That's when our Chabur started Shas 15 years ago. It's changed. But we mentioned, it happened to be by the Si, and we mentioned the Gemara that was coming up. We were starting Tainus. We mentioned the Gemara coming up in Tainus. Now at this point, we already had it. But the Gemara Daf Chafal in Tainus, where the Gemara discusses Ilfa and Rabbi Yechanan, they left Yeshiva to go make Parnasa because they were very poor. And as they were leaving, Rabbi Yechanan heard a voice that was saying that we should push down this wall on these two people leaving Chai Eilam to be busy with Chai Eshad, busy making Parnas instead of being busy learning Torah, push this wall down and kill them, and all the Machs are back. No, we can't, because one of them is going to be very successful. Ilfa, do you hear that? And Ilfa said, I didn't hear anything. So Rebbe says, if he didn't hear it, then I heard it. Must be the one who's going to be successful is me. He says, I'm changing my mind. Went back to the Beis Medrash, and he ended up coming from Rebbe, became the Gadol Dar, became the highest of Rosh Shiva. Ilfa came back a little while later, and they said, you were better than Rebbe. You'd for sure be the Rosh Shiva. And that's when he climbed on top of the mast, and he said, whoever has a question, ask me. Whoever has a question, whoever can bring me a brisa that I can't connect it to an existing Mishnah, I'll jump off this mast and kill myself if someone can beat me. They came and challenged him, and of course he was successful. We spoke out, we were speaking on the context of the beauty of Ilfa, of course the beauty of Taras Menasi Arbechran. He did become the Rosh Shiva, became the Gadol, but the beauty of Ilfa on the flip side is he still knew everything in learning. Even though he's a Baal Bas, he knew everything in learning. Obviously to call him a Baal Bas is a little bit strong. He was a Chashav Amira, but even though he went to work, he still knew an amazing amount of Torah. That's what we pointed out back then. Anyway, but the point is that there's a nice connection. Rabbi Yechanan was saying over here that you listen to a Baskel. Menashe B'Shamash Baskel, you have to have specific instruction, but we listen to a Baskel. And Rabbi Yechanan over there also listened to a sound, a voice. I don't know if it's a Baskel, but he heard the noises from Shemayim, and he listened to those noises. Remember, we have Yeshua, the Tanna, Rabbi Yeshua says, in elsewhere in Shas, in Mashkichim Baskel, we listen to Baskel. Here we're saying we give credence to a Baskel. Okay, says more further. Rabbi Shemayah, Ba'amar Bechanan. Amar of Shiftai, Amar Bechanan. Kol Kaira Blin Imo, whoever reads without a nice niggin, Vishana Blin Zimra, whoever reads without a song, a Mishnah, so Psukim without a niggin would mean Pashas without the trup. And Mishnah without a niggin means Mishnah without the right, again, also without the right proper song. So, Allah Bakas of Aimer, Vagamni, and Sat Lechem Chukim Leitaim, again, the Chukim which weren't good to them. And that's the idea, because they're not doing it with the proper niggin. Seems like this idea of Tachas L'Shelav Ad Hashem Gach B'Simcha. You're learning, you're doing Tairi, you're learning Mishnahis, but you're not doing it with the proper niggin. That also is a problem. Maskal Abayas, if I asked, because he doesn't know how to sing nicely. The pasuk over there says that what was the pasuk over there? The they won't live by. They're not going to live by the mishpatim. They're going to get punished. They're going to die. They're not going to live by the mishpatim because what? Because they don't have a nice voice. Doesn't make sense. Rather, the Tashat Pasuk is, living in the same city and they don't confer with each other when it comes to halacha, and they don't cooperate with each other. I gave chukim that were not great, mishpatim that they won't live by. Okay, and the process is going on in the same city, they don't arrange to get along and to collaborate in learning. But I did hear a beautiful pshat that even if we go to Havamina, which was that it relates to the trup, relates to the niggin, so we're saying, how could it be? How could that be such a terrible thing that leads to people not living, and leads to this negative description of the pasuk? So in a pshat, that it means actually the way you read the pasukim, the way you read the pasukim plays a big role. Where you put a comma, where you read, the way you read pasuk, for example, this pasuk itself, the gamani satacham is chukim, you could read, if you read it with a question form, like incredulously, I gave you chukim, lai taivim, are they not good? Umishpatim, lai yechibem. If you make a question form, it actually flips the whole pasuk on its head, in this case in a positive way, and says, are they not things to live by? Are they not good? But depending on where you put the comma, and depending on what type of niggin you use, can play a dramatic role in the taich of the words. And that's what that was the stress, that if you don't name with the proper niggin, the proper trup, you may end up having the wrong taich. Okay, the Mar ultimately went off a different way and said a different taich, but that was at least one potential mahalach. Okay, if you jump into Taisvis, the Ramasal Vashayna, second last taich of the Masechta, Tais says, second last taich from the bottom of the page, Shahayu, Regil Mishnah Sabashnais Bezimra, Lefisha Yishayna Mesam Alpeh. The niggin by Mishnayis had a serve them purpose as well. The niggin by Mishnayis was there because they used to learn Mishnayis Balpeh. They used to learn Mishnayis by heart. They didn't learn it. It was Teresh Balpeh. It was not supposed to be written Bechsav. We got the Teresh and the Skandu, and if we wrote Bechsav, because we wouldn't have been able to retain it, remember it. But they used to try to remember it by heart. So, therefore, it's doing with the niggin, This is an age-old tactic. It worked back then already. Tumi the Niggin was a memorization tool. It helped the memory. That's why they used to remember Shabbos with a Niggin. That's the Niggin the Gemara is referring to. Sensation. Okay. So that's Rav Eiter. Amar Rav Parnach, Amar Vichan. Another member named Rav Vichan. This is from Rav Parnach. Parnach named Rav Vichan. Kol Eichas Sefter Arm, whoever holds the Sefter Arm bare, meaning with his bare hands. Nick Parham, he's buried naked. He won't get the tachrichin. He won't get the burial shrouds. Arim sagadat chibamish. He's going to punish that he's mamish buried naked because he touched the Torah with his bare hands. El ema nikpa arim blei mitzvahs. He'll be buried arim blei mitzvahs. Even that's the Gemara. Arim blei mitzvahs. Blei mitzvahs sagadat. He loses all of the mitzvahs because he touched the sefer Torah with his bare hands. Says Gemara alam abaye nikpa arim blei isa mitzvah. That mitzvah he's doing at the time that he touched the sefer Torah directly with his hand. That mitzvah he's going to lose. The avad won't lose all of his other mitzvahs because of this. But we see very stark. One should not touch the sefer Torah directly. He should touch it with some sort of cloth intermediary because not so simple to be touching the sefer Torah. I'm Rabbi Yane, I'm Breder of Yane Saba, Mishmeh Rabbi Yane Rabba. Rabbi Yane, the son of Rabbi Yane Elder, who said in the name of Rabbi Yane the Great, a lot of different Rabbi Yane's in this chain, said as follows, Mutav Tegol Mitvachas, Vayigol Sefer Torah. We have the Sefer Torah and a cloth that goes around it. Better to wrap the cloth around the Torah than to roll the Torah within the cloth. You don't roll the Torah, you roll the cloth around the Torah, but you don't roll the Torah within the cloth, not Bakavadik. Last Gemara Mishnah in the Gemara in the Masechta, we quote from our Mishnah. The last words of the Mishnah was that we discussed all the leanings that we do in different Yom Tov, in different special days, and we said, "What's the pshat that all these have unique leanings?" So we said in the Mishnah, "Vaydam Meishes Ma'ay Dei Hashem Amnei Yisrael Mitzvah that Shikar Eisa Kolach Avech Bzmanei." It's a mitzvah each should be read. The pesukim should be read in its time based on that pasuk, based on Vaydam Meishes Ma'ay Dei Hashem Amnei Yisrael. Tana Rabbanon. We learned in Hebrew, "So Meishes Tikelam the Yisrael Shiyushaylam V'Darshim Miyanei Shecha Shalayim." You want to darshan and ask questions. Sholem v'darshim in the inyan of the day, at the end of the day, Hilchas Pesach Pesach, and I'm not going to read the last two. The Hilchas Pesach Pesach, and of course, it fell asleep with the other Yom Tovim. Why? Because Meisha was masakin that when you're busy with that day of Yom Tovim, you should read the darshan inyan of that day, and therefore the why they meant this. Why do we're masakin these various leanings for these days? Is because these leanings relate to the day, and Meisha was masakin that we should ask questions and darshan on the topic of the day. On the day itself. The question is, we just had a Gemara 2 blot ago, or 3 blot ago, on Chav, it's really 2.5 blot, on Chav Tes Amabez, and we've quoted elsewhere a famous Gemara that says that Shleishim Yom Kodim L'Chag, 30 days before Yom Tov, one is supposed to, Darshan and Yonei Chag, right? The exact question, I want to quote the exact question, going to be important for one of the answers. Shleishim, Shalem Hilchas Pesach, Kodim Pesach, Shleishim Yom, we ask about Hilchas Pesach before Pesach, 30 days. So is it 30 days or is it day of? What's the pshat? Somebody say 30, somebody say day of. So of course, we've said the answer before in the past for the Ran. The Ran answers, that's two different things. We know a Talmud is supposed to only ask a Rebbe, main yana that the Rebbe is teaching. When Rebbe is learning through a certain sugya, Talmud can ask Shalos the Rebbe on that sugya, related to the shir, related to general dinam on the sugya, he can ask Shalos, but not on other inyanim. It's not considered, it's considered shaylin shleika haigen. If he's talking, Rebbe's mom gives me shir above basra, and he starts asking questions above metziah, it's considered shaylin shleika. You have to meet chamin that are mamish all over the place, but it's considered that he's asking shleika haigen, he's asking out of the proper way, because he's not asking a question on the sugi the Rebbe's giving. That's the general rule. Says the Ram, beautiful. When it comes to 30 days before Yom Tov, a Talmud is allowed to ask the Rebbe a shayla the Gabi Yom Tov, even if it's not where the Rebbe is teaching. He's still teaching Bava Basra. But the Talmud can ask him a question because it's within 30 days. It's called Mein Yana, even though it's not the main Inyan the Rebbe is teaching. It's in Yana, which is on everyone's minds. It's within 30 days. And therefore, the Talmud can ask, that's the shayla v'darshim. That's the 30 days before. And the shayla v'darshim, bay yayim, says the Ran, that's taka the chi of the mitzvah of the Rebbe to initiate. Not Stami should be able to accept all questions on topics related to Yom Tov already for 30 days. That's really his obligation to elaborate on the Yom Tov itself. There's a direct mitzvah on the Chacham to make that the Yana Sheyema and not have it be a secondary Inyan. That's the Ran's answer. But I forgot where we saw this other answer from in the past. There's a nuance difference. One is asking halachas, asking the general halachas of Pesach, of Shavuos. Shavuos actually is not so much that there's a din of, Beis Yosef says the din of Shleishim Yom may not apply to Shavuos, as someone has dinim, it's much less to know, and therefore may not apply of 30 days. Okay, but Sukkot, Pesach, certainly we have 30 days. That 30 days is to ask halacha shaylos. The day of, we darshan more lumdis, more yanim, more machshava maybe, but it's not focused on halacha shaylos, it's focused on different things. The halacha shaylos you can ask for up to 30 days before. The actual delving into it was relegated more so for the Yom Tov itself. So this we mentioned this Teretz again this morning, and Reb Leizer pointed out a beautiful diak that if you look at the words, it fits like a glove. By the Shleishim Yom Kodim L'Chag, what does it say? It says Shailin. You ask Shailos Behilchas Pesach. First of all, it says Shailin Behilchas Malachas, which is clear like what we're saying. In 30 days before Pesach. What is he over here about the day of? Shailin v'dershin b'inyanai. Shailin v'dershin b'inyanai is much more than just asking halacha shaila. Sounds like you darshan in the inyan. That's the difference. One is halacha shaila, and one is darshaning the lumnus and the sigis. The sigis, the lumnus, is that day. Halacha shaila is going to be for 30 days. A beautiful answer. I'm not going to say the word hadras because we didn't read the last five words in case someone wants to say it for a siyam. But mazal tov. We pick up for my cut to mitzvah tomorrow. Have